The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland's label Zam Zam Sounds. And you're listening to Art Focus on KB Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today, my guest is Steve Christensen. But first up, local art news. This past Thursday, I went and saw the August Wilson Red Door Project's presentation of the new Blackfest productions of Hands Up. This is a moving, poignant, painful, and uplifting production that explores the impact of racial profiling and racial stereotypes, particularly in interactions with law enforcement. Seven playwrights and seven actors bring these testaments to life in a soul-stirring presentation. Admissions on a sliding scale of a suggested donation. I recommend paying your hourly wage. Upcoming presentations will be happening at Reed College on April 22nd and 23rd at 7:30 p.m. and at the Artist Repertory Theater in downtown Portland on April 29th and 30th, also at 7:30 p.m. Let me add, while there is mature language, it is completely appropriate for teens. April's Art Spark by Rack will be taking place at a family-friendly Portland Mercado this Thursday, April 21st from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Rack's Art Education and Hacienda CDC will be on hand to share how the arts can have a big impact on kids in local schools and our economy via local businesses. There's actually a new mural in progress by local artists Pablo Solares and Rachel Olson that was sponsored by Rack on display. ArtSpark is a great opportunity to meet other artists as well as Rack staff to learn more about how Rack seeks to enrich our community through arts and culture. Deep Underground is dropping this Friday night at Deshecta. Doors open at 8 p.m. Deep Underground events are music and art showcases / festivals highlighting visual as well as performance artists residing right here in Portland, Oregon. Deep Underground serves a multitude of purposes, from networking to performance opportunities and artist promotion. This event is geared to provide a healthy and safe environment that will unite the surrounding artistic community with different cultures and views that all live here in Portland. This encourages people to feel welcome in a community looking to support them on their journey to artistic freedom and success. I'd also like to mention that I saw an amazing exhibit by Sidonie O'Neill at Portland State Lippmann Gallery called This Vogue for Electric Lamps. It was amazing. It's a blend of text and texture that are surreal and yet familiar. I really, really encourage people to go check it out. Like I said, it's at the Lippmann Gallery, the Portland State campus. I think that's in the Smith Memorial Building, I believe. So, on April 25th, the Northwest Film Center, which is next Monday, will be presenting Los Sures Project. Comprised of predominantly working-class Puerto Rican and Dominican residents, Los Sures in South Williamsburg, Brooklyn, was in the early 1980s one of the poorest, most underserved neighborhoods in New York City. Overcome by gangs, drugs, crime, and many of the travails of a modern American neighborhood in the late 20th century. Director Diego Echeverria, a graduate of Columbia Film School and a Chilean native who grew up in Puerto Rico, took to the streets and made this remarkable cinema verite documentary portrait of Los Sures and its remarkable inhabitants. Now, over 30 years later, the neighborhood has changed almost beyond recognition. In 2013, Brooklyn-based Union Docs commissioned several response films to the original Los Sures, where they got a handful that are now screening as part of a larger program. And they look at the neighborhood as it stands today. In tandem, the newly restored Los Sures and the response films offer a timely look at historical neighborhood dynamics as we here in Portland go through much of the same turmoil. So joining me today via telephone is Mr. Christopher Allen, the founder and executive artistic director of Union Docs, who will be in attendance for a presentation and Q&A at the Los Sures Project next Monday at the Northwest Film Center. But we're getting a little preview from him today. Thank you for joining us, Christopher.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Great. Well, I just wanted to share with you and our audience that I actually grew up in Brooklyn, New York, near Bushwick. So I've watched the transformation of neighborhoods like Bed-Stuy, Red Hook, Williamsburg, and as well Bushwick. And I've always marveled how the arts, especially film, can serve as a window to an earlier time. What did you hope to accomplish by opening that window wide and creating a wormhole of sorts that connects the present to this past?
Well, what we wanted to do is make the history accessible. When a neighborhood is undergoing an influx of change. Its past is incredibly important because you have long-term residents who are there and for whom that past is personal. If you want to create sort of bridges between newer and older residents, having an understanding of that history is incredibly useful. So for us, when we first saw this film Los Sures in probably 2007, it just stood out to us as this window into a history that was otherwise really hard to access. But also it stood out just as a beautiful piece of cinema. It's a really exceptional film on its own terms, and with the access and intimacy that it has with its characters. And we started a very long journey to work with this film, from which we have produced 40 short documentaries that are inspired by the film, but looking at the neighborhood today. We produced a web documentary that kind of is a then and now, looking at one of the characters' lives from the film in 1984, looking at where she's at today and as she faces an important decision to leave the neighborhood. And we also did an oral history, kind of what we'd like to think of as a sort of cinematic people's history, that took the film from 1984 and chopped it up into individual shots and used those shots as a starting point for conversations with many long-term residents about what they see in those shots and the stories and histories that they can share. And all that's available on our website, livinglosures.com.
Thank you for sharing your website information. Hopefully people can go visit that often. One thing that I felt when I watched the film Los Sures was that it depicts a time during an emergence of, you know, a grittier new wave cinema in New York in particular, when you think of people like Scorsese and you think of people that were making films like Mean Streets and Taxi Driver. And it was incredible to see these were real people. These weren't characters. These weren't, you know, words written down for them to recite. They were expressing the day-to-day, the underground economy, the struggles. And it's curious to think about how a lot of those themes are still happening today.
Yeah, that's right. Sadly, the film is still very much, has relevance across New York. You know, even though there's a lot of New York that's become a luxury city, there's still pockets that, you know, resemble what you see in the film. And at the time in 1984, when this film was made, this was actually one of America's poorest neighborhoods. And so it really gives you a sense of what it was like to live at that time. But I think it's the sort of themes of dealing with poverty are unfortunately still continue to resonate today.
I'm a bit of a filmmaker myself. I went to film school here at the Northwest Film Center here in Portland. And one thing that I've always remarked on was perspective and how different people have different perspectives, even though looking at the same thing. And when I was lucky enough to look at a variety of the films that were produced out of the 40, and it reminded me of a collaboration of The Exquisite Corpse. When you have different artists or different people that are drawing bits and pieces of the same picture, and then they assemble it together, and people can step back and see it in its totality. Sure. How did you go about curating the 40 films, and you know, how did you find the filmmakers or the parameters? Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure. So this work was all made through a program that Union Docs runs. Union Docs is a nonprofit center for documentary art, and we have been located in this neighborhood in Williamsburg for the last 10 years. And we run a program where we bring together artists each year to collaborate on a collection of works that are focused on a theme. And for the last 5 years, that theme has been Los Sures itself, looking at the neighborhood that we are a part of, and looking at this film from 1984 as a sort of as an inspiration. And yeah, so it's a kind of unique way of making films. We gather people together for 10 months, and each of the filmmakers that's involved actually works on two different projects in different roles, and they through a series of exercises and through a bunch of shared research, we kind of propose a collection of projects, and there's a peer-based system that decides on which projects we end up pursuing and which will stay on the shelf. And then Union Docs sort of provides resources and a framework for these teams to get out there and finish their projects. And we have mentorship and support and other filmmakers providing critique. And the results have been really good. We've had this in addition to sort of, you know, being available as programs that we show as a collection alongside the original film, like we'll do in Portland on Monday night. We also, you know, have these films go out individually. And so they've won awards at different festivals and been shown many places all over the world. But they all kind of point back to the larger project. So it's kind of an interesting model.
Sounds interesting. It actually sounds quite fascinating. So if you mind me asking, did the filmmakers reflect the diversity of the community? I mean, obviously a lot of the people depicted on the films range from, you know, rich, poor, black, white, Latino, Jewish, Gentile. How did you assemble the actual filmmakers? Was it completely voluntary? Did you have to go out and find people to participate in the program?
Yeah, this program is a kind of professional development program that people apply to who are looking for new insights into documentary in general. And so in addition to sort of the production work that happens at Union Docs, they're also engaged in master classes and fellowships and seminars on the history, theory, and practice of documentary art. So for some people, it's like an analog to what an MFA program might be. For others, they've already maybe completed an MFA, and it's a new way to sort of refresh their take on producing documentary art. So that program, we have a very thorough selection process through applications each year, and we receive about 60 to 80 applications, and we choose 12 filmmakers, and they come from all over the world. Six are usually from New York, and six are international. And we've had people come from as far as Egypt and Turkey and India and as close as, you know, a couple blocks away from Union Docs. So it's a real mix of individuals. They're all emerging artists and are all seeking to kind of, you know, for their own professional development.
Nice. So I was able to look at some press screeners. So I was able to watch the entirety of Los Certos. Amazing, amazing. Just the breadth, the honesty, the access was, it really was like time traveling. It was amazing. But then I also got to see a couple other films, and one I can't remember the name of, so I want you to remind me of it. But there was one called Memory and Los Certos, and it had animation, it had spoken word. It was so modern, yet it carried forth a certain, dare I say, DIY attitude of the time where kids were, you know, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're going to make it way. Another thing that I saw was Last Bread. I can't tell you how many bodegas and small bakeries and ice cream shops and butchers and candy stores that I went to as a kid. And it's a real tragedy to think that, you know, in the modern age, it's just hard for them to continue to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of different stories in this project, those are two great shorts. What I like about the shorts projects is kind of like you said before, there's a very kaleidoscopic view of the neighborhood. So the films come in a range of different formal approaches. Some are, you know, use animation or more experimental. Some are very straightforward character documentaries or show an event in time, show a group of people who are, you know, organizing in the neighborhood to, for instance, protest the sort of the way that things were being handled with the charter schools in the neighborhood. It shows a real variety of the life and the sort of activities of this place. And I think that's really what, you know, a neighborhood can't really be a single image. Through this project, we've been able to explore a lot of different sides to this community.
So one of the favorite ones that I got to see, and this one I can't remember the name, it highlighted the impact of gentrification on today's artists in the artist spaces. in the context of watching that and looking at Los Certos, it seems like there's obviously a pattern of gentrification. Obviously, it's bigger than just us. But what was some of your reaction to that particular film in particular? And can you remind us of what the name of it was?
Sure. I think you're talking about I Was Here First.
Yes.
Which is a film that looks at some of the kind of DIY music spaces that emerged in the late 90s and early 2000s in Williamsburg, and really gave Williamsburg its sort of popular identity as a kind of hipster heaven in a lot of ways, and its connection to the music scene of that time, and what happened when a major media company came in and sort of bought up the neighborhood and was forced all these sort of small clubs to close down and where they might find. And I think the theme of the project is really about, DIY venues contribute to culture and whether or not there's a future for them in New York City is the question, or whether they need to like move elsewhere. I think the project, it's an interesting look. And I think the title is meant to be a bit ironic, because, there's certainly a cycle of people who come in and out, and there may be, even with these DIY venues, they're taking sort of industrial spaces in the neighborhood. Some had more and less kind of awareness of other parts of the community that they were kind of interrupting or taking advantage of cheap rents and things like that to be a part of. And some of these spaces became integrated in the neighborhood, and others were a little bit more isolated. So I think it's just showing that space of time in Williamsburg, and kind of an important history of rock venues, alongside many other stories that are part of Living Los Certos.
One of the reasons why I was thrilled about the presentation is going to be happening at the Northwest Film Center next Monday was that after I watched We Were Here First, I realized that the gentleman who supplies the opening music for my show is a guy named Ezra Erickson, and he's got a label called Zam Zam Sounds. And I was actually in New York when Galapagos was in Williamsburg, and he actually played Galapagos. And it was great for me to connect with him, even though he's from Portland and I'm from New York, and even though I went to school out here. And it was just amazing that Galapagos doesn't exist anymore. And the cycle that of it going to Detroit is, it's happening again. And it's such a weird paradox to think about the pros and cons of of these arts maker spaces that provide access not just to the people who are coming into the neighborhood, but also often people that are already there. I can think of how many young artists or how many young dancers, musicians who are, like you said, could be blocks away from any of these venues, who are able to participate and thrive as part of it, only to have those spaces be taken away as time marches on.
Yeah, a lot of those venues are really have such, so many emotions and so much community built into them that it is a loss that's sort of bigger than just just a place to play music or have a beer. And that's true for other sides of the community too. There's amazing salsa clubs, and we have a film called Tonitas that was made by two of our collaborative fellows, and it looks at one of the last remaining social clubs in Williamsburg, which is really a congregation of different folks from the Caribbean, and some of the music that they share in this place. And a lot of those places are what we treasure as part of the fabric of the neighborhood. So, the stories hopefully aren't all about things shutting down and moving on. It's also about continuity.
Right.
Because there still is a very strong community here, and a big part of what this project is trying to contribute to is the ongoing kind of sense of identity of this place, and that the history and the stories that make it a rich environment are available to people and can be celebrated.
So if you don't mind me asking, What's been the feedback from the community itself? I mean, I think it's great to hear that some of the filmmakers were from the community, and I can imagine there's a bit of support. But, you know, there was such an honesty, such a vulnerability in some of the images and some of the words and some of the stories that I saw. What's been, you know, I'm sure there's a variety of feedbacks, but what have been some of the most, I guess, demonstrative or vocal feedbacks that you've heard?
Well, we had Diane Arena, who is the now the deputy borough president of Brooklyn, and she was our council person for the South Side. And she said that, you know, this was kind of a treasure, the film Los Sures and the work that Union Docs was doing. You know, we've done many, many public events trying to bring people together across different sides of the neighborhood, newer residents, older residents. And we work a lot with the amazing set of organizations that have grown in this neighborhood, places that like Southside United HDFC that does a lot of work with housing in the neighborhood. And, you know, they kind of commented that when, you know, you're in the trenches fighting the political fight and trying to organize people, you don't always have the time to write down the history or take the pictures. And so some of that history goes untold, even though there's amazing stories there. So they're very grateful to have that feedback and to have an organization that's trying to do just that for them. So I think that it's been really, really well received, and that's been one of the biggest sort of most valuable things that has come out of the project has been a whole set of tight new relationships in the community, and you know, a whole sequence of events that we've been able to put together in collaboration with other organizations, reaching hopefully a lot of people.
Nice. So, if you don't mind me asking, so it sounds like this was a process that has literally been what, 5-6 years in the making. What's next? I mean, not just for this, but you know, what are some other subjects, or what are some other collaborative efforts that you think Union Docs is going to be working on moving forward?
Well, we are working on a new project, but the interest in Los Sures has only grown. Actually, we just completed this weekend our run at the Metrograph Theater in New York, and it was actually the second biggest film in kind of the specialty sort of art house category in New York City last weekend, and it's received incredible reviews, and there seems like there's interest all across the country to see this, you know, this remarkable film from 1984 alongside some of the newer work that we've done. So we'll be taking the film out to different cities, and Portland is one of the first that we'll be reaching, because I'll be there on Monday night for the screening at the Northwest Film Center, and then we'll be bringing it to other cities. So that will continue for at least the next year or so with Los Sures, and we're in production right now on 8 new shorts for a project that is called Just to Get By, and it focuses sort of on income inequality in New York City and sort of the way in which people still, you know, have an idea that the city is, you know, a luxury place when actually close to half of the residents of the city live near the federal poverty line, and many below that line. And so these stories that we're telling are trying to push the boundaries of documentary a bit and collaborate with the subjects that we're telling, you know, and looking at the ways that people sort of creatively find creative solutions to stay in New York and to live and thrive.
Outstanding. I said, well, Christopher, I can't thank you enough for joining us today on KBOO's Art Focus. It was a fascinating conversation. I look forward to meeting you next Monday. I'll be there in attendance, and I hope other viewers may be able to join us as well. Best of luck with all your endeavors, and thank you for your participation today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, once again, that was Christopher Allen from New York City's Union Docks. There's going to be a screening of Los Cerdas at the Northwest Film Center, and there will be two or more response films. Their collective created a series of 40 short films in response to that longer film, Los Cerdas, and he'll be in attendance to be part of a Q&A, talk about the process as well. So before we wrap up today, I just want to make sure that I give a shout out to the students and faculty at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. They are participating in a protest right now, and they're fighting for not only fair wages, but they're fighting for fair facilities. Since the Pacific Northwest College of Art moved from deep in the Pearl District down to Northwest Broadway, there's been some issues that have been concerning, whether it's, you know, the state of the building, the state of the adjunct professors. And right now there are protesters, not at this moment, but there'll be protesters outside making quite a bit of noise from 9 to 10 every day this week. I was able to go down and participate yesterday. I couldn't go today because I was preparing for the show, but I'll be back out there most likely tomorrow. Please join them, show your support. The Pacific Northwest College of Art has been an important part of the Portland art scene, if not the region. And I think it's equally important that we all participate in making sure that it continues to do so. So before we wrap up, I just want to make sure that you can normally find photos and links as well as of the guest info on our show page. But we had some technical difficulties with our website, so they're not going to be uploaded. But hopefully there will be a on-demand MP3 of this show in case you missed it at some point later today, if not tomorrow, on the KBOO Art Focus page. I just want to remind you that the August Wilson Red Door Project's presentation of New Black Fest production of Hands Up is going to be at Reed College this weekend and the Artist Repertory Theater next weekend, which is the weekend of 4/29. Deep Underground is dropping this Friday night at DeShecta. Doors open at 8. It's a great show. They got live paint, live music. It's a great positive crowd, really diverse, old, young, intergenerational. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I can't tell you that enough. April's Art Spark by Rack will be taking place at the Portland Mercado this Thursday, April 21st, from 5:30 to 7:30. Rack's Arts Education and Hacienda CDC will be on hand too. Portland Mercado just celebrated their one-year anniversary last weekend on April 16th, so there might still be some cake and party balloons for that as well. If you missed any part of today's show, like I said, there should be a podcast of the show online later today. It's my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional and nationwide artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on the show. It's also my goal to share information that's relevant to artists as well. When I learn about residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, or amazing art shows around town, you're going to hear about it here on KBOO's Art Focus. Please visit our Facebook page, give us a like, and so you can keep up to date on all the goings-on that we find that's going on. Once again, right now, I want to make sure that I give another shout-out to Sidonie O'Neill. Her exhibit at the Littman Gallery at Portland State Smith Memorial Center is titled This Vogue for Electric Lamps. It is a must-see. Sidonie, you did it again. Thank you so much for all your contributions to our local art scene. Well, once again, this is Andre Middleton signing off from KBOO Art Focus. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care and peace.